We left off in the previous year. We were discussing about all the clause of Nekech Omemker, Isurim and Shabbos, not getting married, the other things that were related to the sugya of doing business. Well, in a certain sense, we left the real question really not dealt with yet, namely, why is any business also in the first place? Why is it that real buying and selling, why can't I keep my store open on Shabbos and Yontif? We're talking about all the extended cases, can't get married, can't have Nisuin, Kedushin, Yibum, Chalitz, all the related business issues. What's wrong with the business proper? So Rashi in two different places writes two different things. Rashi in one place writes, well, it's all part of the same Gezerah. Gezerah Shem Yichtov, that's the name of our sugya. So Gezerah Shem Yichtov is the underlying reason for everything. So the reason why I can't really buy and sell Gezerah Shem Yichtov, and then I can't get married Gezerah Shem Yichtov, everything is all included in the same Gezerah Shem Yichtov. But Rashi in another place writes that maybe there's another reason why you can't do real business on Shabbos and Yontif, and maybe it's a throwback to the psukim that we referred to a little bit in the previous year, the psukim of the Navi Yeshayahu, Mimtzo Cheftzecha Kedaber Dova, that the Navi speaks about just the pursuit of business in and of itself is problematic on Shabbos and Yontif, not only because of the technical problems, Zer Shem Yichtov, but just doing business itself is something which is antithetical to Shabbos and to Yontif. So those are two different approaches to our entire sugya, to the entire starting point of our sugya. So according to the one approach in Rashi, everything here is to begin the gezeiros. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with keeping the store open on Shabbos. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with buying and selling on Shabbos. It's just what it's going to lead to. And the other approach of Rashi, there's something which is fundamentally problematic with business itself. Forgetting about all the gezeiros, just the very act of business itself is problematic with itself because of Mitzvah Hefzach. But it sounds like, according to both Pshatim and Rashi, we're not dealing with the deraisi, we're not dealing with the malacha proper. We're dealing either with the gezeira atu that may lead to do a malacha, or we're dealing with some kind of a problem we call Midivra Kabbalah, not Divra Kabbalah in the sense of Zohar, but Divra Kabbalah in the sense of Nevi'im Uksuvim is called Divra Kabbalah. We're not dealing with an outright deraisa. But there is a comment of the Ramban on the Torah in Parshas Emor, where the Ramban introduced us a new concept that it's possible that maybe a deraisa involved, a real bona fide deraisa. So the Ramban points out that in addition to the Isser of Losas and Kabbalah on Shabbos, in addition to the issue of Kabbalah Zaveda, Losasu, and Yontif, the Torah speaks about Shabbos and Yontif as being days of rest, being days of Shabbos L'Shem L'Kecha, days of Shabbos and Tishbos. What exactly do those terms mean? What's the halachic significance of those terms? So the Gemara takes the term, at least of Shabbos and Tishbos, in the sense of that there's a mitzvah saseh, in addition to the losaseh of doing malacha on Shabbos and Yontif, there's also a positive mitzvah of being shoves to malach. A person who's shoves to malach on Shabbos and Yontif gets schar as fulfilling a mitzvah zaseh. It's not a mitzvah zaseh that you do b'kum vaseh. It's not like shaking a lulav or hearing shofar. It's not that you have to do something, but by the not doing, by the refraining from malacha, it also gets a positive mitzvah of Shabbosam. But the Ramban says he thinks there's more within that. That the mitzvah of Shabbos, the mitzvah of the essay of Shabbos, covers not just the Lamites Malach, as the opposite of the Toldos, but it covers, in a certain sense, what we call the whole spirit of the day. The Ramban draws a very, very famous illustration. The Ramban writes, imagine the following person. He has a store open, mamish business as usual, almost as usual, except that anytime it comes to write, he writes with his left hand. And anytime he needs a Malach, he writes it done, he has a going on staff. Everything, mamish, you walk into a store, store's open, he's buying, everything, mamish, normal, except every time there's a deraisa, he figures out a kunz, he figures out an eitzah, how to get around the deraisas, but mamish got his business running as usual. So the Ramban writes, can we say such a person violated losasuka malacha? We've been learning Masechah Shabbos for 3 years now, so we already know that's not losasuka malacha, it's kaliyachayat, it's ayde goy, all the kunz, he's got to get the whole thing down path. But says the Rabban, he thinks that he is in violation of the assay of Shabbos. That is the antithesis of the assay of Tishbos. And the Rabban extends and says, a guy is schlepping heavy furniture, a guy is being matriach, doing all kinds of these things that when we were little they used to call this not in the spirit of Shabbos. So the Rabban says it's not just not in the spirit of Shabbos. It's not the letter of the law of Shabbos either. True, it's not a malacha, you're not chayef skila for it, that's true, but it's still considered to be part of the all-encompassing mitzvah say of resting, that Shabbos has to be a day of Shabbos, l'shem l'kecha. So it comes out according to the Ramban, that it's true that if every once in a while, you know, I sell you something, you know, for a second on Shabbos, so I can't call that an iser aseh of Shabbosim. But I can understand quite well why Chazal wanted stores closed on Shabbos. That the Gezeri Shabbi Yichtov, the Mitzvah Cheftzucha, is not just Chashashos Terabonon. There's a real problem deraisa here that may be violated. If business becomes too usual, if business becomes too common, if the store is literally open on Shabbos, so in addition to all the potential Gezeri Shabbi Yichtov, in addition to the violation of the Pesukim in Yishayahu, Mitzvah Cheftzucha, there may be a much more serious problem taking place here. Maybe an absolute violation of an Issa min HaTorah, not a laf, not a karas, not a skila, but an Issa deraisa of Shabbos, of Tishbos, of Shabbos, L'Hashem Elokecha. Lest we think that the Ramban just meant it, you know, more as a drush, more as a sermon on Shabbos morning rather than a halacha. So the Chassam Sofer quotes this Ramban l'halacha. The Chassam Sofer writes that what would the din be if you have a person who does such a thing? Okay, Mamash has his business open, and he's davening shachris and shul, he's got his business run by Goyim, everything is being done, quote unquote, kadasach, and no deraisa whatsoever, but it's Mamash, it's the ultimate violation of Tzachavtach of Adabadavar. So says Chassam Sofer that we pass like this Ramban, and the person would be in violation of this asay, and what would be the consequences? So Chassam Sofer says he thinks that the person would be labeled as a Machal Shabbos for Hesia. Chal Shabbos or Fahesia, the Gemara says in the beginning of Chulin is Diruk Akum, has the status of a goy, not totally, but vis-a-vis Shechita, vis-a-vis touching wine, vis-a-vis other areas of Halacha. Someone who's publicly desecrates Shabbos is Chal Shabbos or Fahesia, so he's Diruk Akum for many, many areas of Halacha. Says the Chassam Sofer, who says that Chal Shabbos or Fahesia is only on Isurim of Lavim? Where does it say that? Where does it say it's only on Malachas? It's some person who's a mechalel Shabbos for Hesia. So if he's mechalel Shabbos, you're mechalel Shabbos by violating the Isser Esei of Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecha. The Rabbi Kivega has a suffix in Hilchos Shechita. He claims it's Machlokes HaRishonim. What if a person is only Mechal Shabbos by Surim D'Rabbanan? He's a lamdash of Mechal Shabbos from Hesia. Means he won't do deraisas, he'll only do D'Rabbanan. So Rabbi Kivega is not sure, would that be called Mechal Shabbos from Hesia or not? That's already a lamdash of Shail about. Or Surim D'Rabbanan considered to be Surim Shabbos, they consider to be Surim B'Fnei Atzmo. That's already a different Shaila. But the Chassam Sofer says that shalom wouldn't matter over here. Because here, the person is violating a deraisa. It's not the deraisa of losasik of malacha, but it's no less of a deraisa, so to speak. It is less, but it's still a deraisa of tishbos, of Shabbos, Shabbos l'Hashem elokecha. So that puts a whole new spin on our entire sugya. You know, we've been addressing the sugya. We saw the words gezeira shem yichtav, so we breathed the sigh of relief. Okay, gezeira, that means this week we're only a derabat. There are no deraisas here. Not so simple, not so poshut. We may have an issa midibir kabbalah, mitzvah cheftzucha. We may have even a more serious problem with a deraisa if the business becomes too much business as usual. But I hope, getting back to our main sugya, there are certain things that Chazal extended this iser, this mekecho memker in Shabbos, to include things that are not outright business, not literally buying and selling with stores open, but being makdish things to the base of Mikdash, so that we already saw the Mishnah said that was a problem. We spoke with Arichas about the getting married as being a problem. But let's focus for a minute on this issur of a makdish in Mishabas Yontif. That the Mishnah said explicitly that you're not allowed to be makdish, not allowed to designate anything to the base of Mikdash and Shabbos Yontif. So you're probably wondering how much time we're going to spend on this. It's not relevant. Nebuch, we don't have a base of Mikdash. And therefore, not only is it not too common for a person to be makdish something to the base of Mikdash, it's actually not permitted. The Gemara says that a makdishim is manazeh. If you had about Shabbos on a regular Tuesday, it's an issur of the rabbanan to be makdish something bizmanazeh. Why is that? What do you do with it? A guy's gonna, he gets the uchuva tefilah tzedakah mavirah. Oh, he wants to give a gift to the base of Mikdash. So he decides he's gonna designate this item to give to the base of Mikdash. So what are we supposed to do with it? If somebody uses it, they're going to be in violation of Me'ilah. So we're going to have to be paid there. We're going to have to be tarsh the darbar. We're going to have to figure out eitzes to get out of the problem. What are we going to do with the davar shel hekdesh mizmanazeh? So therefore, the Gemara says, "Masechet Erechin ein makdishin ve'machurim mizmanazeh." It's also been the rabbanan to do it because it's just going to lead to problems. People end up using it shalai kedin. But okay, so the guy didn't ask us a shali. He went ahead and he was makdish something. So the hekdesh is chal. And if he did that act on Shabbos, then he violated two Isurim the Rabbanan. He violated the general list of the Rabbanan being Makdesh Bismanazah, and he also violated the list of the Rabbanan of Emakdishit on Shabbos V'yamdiv. So we're not going to talk about that guy. We're going to talk about something a little bit more down to earth. We're talking about whatever person isn't Makdesh something literally to the base of Mikdash, but he designates something, or he obligates himself, he pledges to give money to a little bit more relevant for us for tzedakah. Is that considered to be a violation of Emakdishit Bismanazah? It wouldn't be a violation of Emakdish Mizmanazah. That would save us a lot of money in the PL's times. But Emakdish Mishabs and Yantif. So we take a look at the fourth of the Rabbi Kavos. So the Ran, Idmasech Shabbos, Nefsavuk Dalam, and Alpha Dapia Rift. So the Ran quotes in the following Postkin Tzedakah Lanim Bishabbos. So the Gemara says explicitly that you're allowed to deal with Tzedakah on Shabbos. You're allowed to discuss how much money you're going to give for Tzedakah on Shabbos. So he asks the Ran to Mahani. He doesn't understand. How could it be Mutter? Amai Shari, Tatanan, Ein Makdishin? He says, you're not allowed to be Makdish. So he asks the Ran, what's the difference between the person who says, I'm being makdish this animal to the base of Mikdash, which is problematic on Shabbos and Yontif, that's a quasi-business, that's a quasi-gzeir shem yichtov, all the fears of ksiva kick in. What's the difference between that and a guy says, I'm going to give $1,000 to tzedakah? What's the difference? They're having to appeal, the guy announces he's giving $1,000 to tzedakah, to Yisker appeal, to Konidra appeal, what's the difference? So the Ran says, it sounds from the Gemara that it's okay. Postkin tzedakah and Shabbos sounds like we're having appeals for a niyam, for tzedakah and Shabbos and Yontif. Why is that fundamentally different? So he said, I found in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, Shlo Osra Lahakdish Kliyadua. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, all the cases of a Makdishin on Shabbos and Yontif refer to a specific chafetz, a specific item. Means you're not allowed to be Makdish, this animal. You're not allowed to designate this table to give as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because that really starts to look like business. That starts to, the same way, you can't sell an animal to your neighbor. You can't, quote-unquote, sell your animal to the base of Mikdash. Same way you can't sell your table to your store. You can't sell your table to the base of Mikdash. But if a person would just say, I'm going to give $1,000 to the base of Mikdash. You don't say which $1,000. You don't say which item. There's no chafs, there's no object. So then even to the base of Mikdash, that would be mutter. So says Rabbeinu Chananel, whenever you pledge to give money for tzedakah, you're not pledging an item to give tzedakah. You're not saying, I'm going to give this table to the chesed organization. You're saying, I'm going to give $1,000. $1,000, you can give these $1,000, you can give those $1,000, another $1,000. There's no chayfet to do, there's no specific item. So maybe that's not considered to be included in Mekich HaMemkir. So says the Ran, is an interesting distinction, but I still don't understand it, says the Ran. V'yadayin ein noyachli, says I'm still not quite sure this is correct. Ta'ein marichin lav kliyadu v'afilu achi osir. Because one of these surim that were mentioned in the Mishnah is you're not allowed to declare erichin. Erichin, there's no object in erichin. Erichin means I look at my value, I look at your value, and I say, okay, erich plenty of life. I'm going to give the value of that person. I was makdish the person, but I don't own the person. I'm makdish myself. I don't own myself. So Erichin is an example of lav kli yadua, and it's still also in the Rabbanan. So says the Rad, how can Rabbeinu Chananel come up with this seemingly artificial distinction? When there's a kli yadua, it's also. When there's no kli yadua, then it's mutter. Says Erichin, which is one of the models in the Mishnah, that's also. There's also no kli yadua.
Just say more
partial
difference that with
post-kin
tzedakah, so far you didn't do anything
because
you're just talking very good.
Oh, wait a second. You want to say that post-kin tzedakah doesn't mean what we think it means. The Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ran thought, you may be right. Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ran thought that post-kin tzedakah means tachlis, there's an appeal, and the guy says, $1,000 to Project Ezra. That's the way the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ran learned. So the Ran has to say, wait a second, what happened? How's that mutter? So maybe what you're saying is right. Maybe post-tachah doesn't mean that. Post-tachah means we're going to discuss it. We're going to get up and tell you about how important it is to support Project Ezra. People are going to say, ooh, you know, let's talk about it. Maybe if the Shabbos will arrange a parlor media. That's what post-tachah means. If that's true, then the Kushimaker Alaysa, right? That may be the correct eretz. But Rabbeinu Chananel for sure didn't learn that way, and the Ran didn't learn the way, and Rabbeinu Chananel came up with the distinction, and the Ran thought that the distinction is not really accurate. So the question is the Ran's refutation of Rabbeinu Chananel really convincing?
Didn't we say there were two like ways to view the Erechin?
That's exactly what we're getting to. So is there a lumdish machlokes here between Rabbeinu Chanan and the Ran? You know, we thought that we're learning a sugi Masech Shabbos, but it could be we're learning the Rome Sech, it could be we're really learning Masech Erechin right now. It could be that, it's a joke about two guys who were learning Bechavrusa, that they were learning Masech Erechin, and so they thought. When they got to Daf Lamed Hey, they realized there was a problem, because one made a Siyim, and the other said, we have another 70 blot to go. The answer is, one guy was learning Erechin, and one guy was learning Erevin. So what were they doing for the first 35 blot? Your guess is as good as mine. but they were learning together. But anyway, so maybe we have to go back for a second, back to Brisket, but the Lumdish world of Kachim. What is Erechin? What exactly is Erechin? So there is a fundamental question how to understand what Erechin is. So one could understand Erechin meaning as non-chefts oriented. Namely, between you and me, I don't own myself. I don't own the other guy. So what do you mean a marich myself, a marich the other guy? It's just a mechanism of saying, I'm really going to give X amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. Instead of saying the magic number X, so I say, Ayin Pashas B'chakosai, what X is going to be. So I'm using Erechin, I'm using my body, I'm using the other person's body, as just a way of pointing to a certain amount of money, a certain specific sum of money. But I'm not being Makdish myself or the other person, because I'm not a Bayam to that either. Well, maybe one can learn, no, that it's true I'm not the Bailim to do that, and I can't ultimately make myself Hektish, but the Torah almost gives me the Rishus to, it's as if, to make believe Chalois, it's as if I'm Makdish myself, and then I'm almost like Poland myself, and I'm giving the sum to the Beis HaMikdash. So even though it's not really a Chayfetz Yadua, it may be halachli chayfetz yadua. And that may be the source of the problem. That may be what Rabbeinu Chanan is learning. Rabbeinu Chanan is saying, when you say erech plenty alai, erki alai, that is like a chayfetz mesuyam. It's not like the person who just says, I'm going to give $1,000 to Project Ezra. That is closer to the model of giving an animal to the Beis HaMikdash than it is to donating a theoretical $1,000 to Project Ezra. So the raya that the Rad had from Erech and against Rabbeinu Chanan may not be a convincing raya. So when all the dust settles, we're still stuck with stuff. We still have to deal with this problem. Why is it that post-kid tzedakah is mutter? The only working pshat that we have is Rabbeinu Chanan, a difference between a chayfetz yadua versus non chayfetz yadua. Perhaps those who don't want to go down that route may have to fall back on what you're saying and take a little bit of the teeth out of a post-kid tzedakah. Maybe post-kid tzedakah doesn't really mean what it sounds like. Maybe it means, maybe you cannot donate, you cannot pledge money for tzedakah on Shabbos. The minhag ha'olam is to be made. We do have appeals on Shabbos, and people do commit themselves to giving money on Shabbos. And we assume that that's not so terrible. However, the Mishnah Berurah in the, if we take a look even before that, if we take a look at the Sivav in the fifth of the Ramah Kamos, if we take a look at the Ramah at the end of the fifth of the Ramah Kamos in Arachayim Simen Shin Vav Sivav. So it's the third line where the Ramah begins. Yesh Amrim, the b'makom shenogin litein b'Torah mishaberach, in a place where the custom is to make a mishaberach, v'nodin l'tzedacha, and a person makes bavur she nodar or bavur she yitein b'linad, whatever the lashon of the gabbai is, o l'chazon. Sometimes the minhag used to be that instead of giving money for tzedakah, they would give the money to the chazanim. That was tzedakah. I mean, the clay kodesh didn't have any significant parnasa, so that was considered to be like that was the mishnah adar. So the osa b'shabbos lisok kama yitein, that there are those who say the taka not allowed to say an amount. You're not allowed. You can say in theory he's going to give something. Matan is give something to the shuls, give something to the tzedakah. But the minute you start to say an amount, that's a problem. This is following your suggestion that posting tzedakah is not so posh. There's not really mut to be posting literally tzedakah. You can shmooze about it, but you can't really obligate yourself to give. The haminig lahakel. And the Ramah writes that the minhag is to be pretty meikil, that we consider that to be included in the lifsot tzedakah, and therefore the Ramah is giving the green light, the minhag is to be meikil in many places, to make a mishaberach with a mishanadar, and that would be okay. So meikir adin, we assume that that's all right. But then the Mishnah Berurah, in the next Ramah Makabos, raise the further question, even assuming that that's right, even justifying a minhag to have mishanadars on Shabbos and Yontif, at the end of the first law of the Mishnah Berurah, so it says of inyan hachrozas mitzvos beveis hakneses yesh osum v'yesh matirin. to lo shayach mekach umem kala bechefa tzanikneh uvamach mishinah gohet te'en limchos biyadam. Comes to Mishabur and says he's dealing with a question which is potentially more problematic than just a person making a statement he's giving $1,000 to the shul, $1,000 to the tzedakah. This is before the aliyah. He wants to buy the aliyah. He wants to buy at the haresa. He wants to buy mafti yayda. He wants to buy psichadinila. He wants to buy a kibud. Is that problematic or not? So one could argue that already is more of a problem because there's a specific item that you're purchasing. In the case where the person says, I'm giving $1,000 to tzedakah, so you can always fall back on Rabbi Chanan and says, well, the Yisra is only a Magdishin, only when there's a real item, when it's being purchased. You're just obligating yourself to give to write a $1,000 check. That's not included in Mekach HaMem. There's no Gzer Shem Yichtav on that. So, okay, that we can begin to justify. We can begin to understand. But over here, I am buying something. I'm buying Atta Reisa. I am buying something. I'm buying Maftir. So that's more of a problem. What would be the justification for that? Because there's no real chefetz. It's all, there's no item called mafta yona. There's no chefetz. You don't have a store that sells mafta yona. Maybe some shuls look like that. There's no store that sells these. That's not an object. So maybe one can argue that's so far removed from the model of mekich u'memker, according to Rabbi Chananel's understanding that there's no real chefetz. So maybe that would be closer to the poskin tzedakah model. So we have multiple questions here in terms of where do you draw the line? At what point, we have certain things Chazal prohibited and certain things Chazal permitted. So we know for a fact poskin tzedakah is mutter. We know for a fact that eimak dishin. So they have a lot of things that fall in the middle. So are the criteria that, or whatever, there's no item, so then it's mutter, that's what poskin tzedakah is, that's what Ben Chanan said. Whatever, there's no chefetz, it's mutter. And then you have a further breakdown in the Acharonim. Well, what do you mean a chefetz? Does a chefetz mean a tangible physical chefetz? Or does a chefetz mean even a spiritual entity called Ataresa? So you have a few different shilas in the poskim. Suffice it to say that I think we could say about Mach Shinova Het and Limchos Biyadim that the Meg is to be making on that also.
In this case, the Mekach HaMemkar applies to somebody who's a transaction where I would give it to somebody as well. In other words, the Tzorach Mitzvah, I could never give you my Lulav and Esrog Ganyanta.
Oh, no, we're going to get there. Okay, we'll get to Matanas in a second. We'll get to Matanas and Tzorach Mitzvah. That's the next half of this again. Okay? So again, yesh v'yesh. So there are some Rishon who had issues with all of these things. They had issues with making Mishaberachs to give money to the Shul, to Tzedakah. They had Poskim who had issues with the buying of Atta Reisa. But the Minhag HaOlam has been and continues to be, I guess, Shul policy dictates, somewhat lakula on this. So up until now, we've been talking about very, very business-oriented things. But now we get into a little bit of a softer kind of a business, namely in the realm of matanos. The question that you began to raise, what if, I'm not going to sell you anything, there's no price tag involved. Forget the opposite is true. I want to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a sefer. I'm going to give you a lulav. I'm going to give you some food on Shabbos and Yontif. Should that be problematic or not? Should we say that this whole gezeira of Shabbat Yichtov, the Mekim, some Cheftzicha, all the problems that are the background behind our entire sugya, do these apply only when there's some kind of a giving and taking? Or do these problems apply even when there's an actual only a giving without any taking, without receiving anything in return? So the Rishonim point out that would appear from the Mishnah that we've been talking about for the last couple of Shiurim, is that there is a problem even in the realm of Matanos. How do I know that? Because there's an issue to be Makdish. When I'm Makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash is not giving me something in return. It's Mamash Matanos Matanah. And still, the Mishnah says that it's problematic. So if Madach to the Beis HaMikdash, where it's Tzorech Mitzvah, and it's Tzorech Gavoa, and it's a very, very important thing. The Mishnah says, no, you can't do it in Shabbat Yontif, because that's also, it's too close for comfort, it's too close to Mekach HaMemker, even though it's much closer to the model of a Matana than it is to a Mechira, and Chazal still said it's prohibited. So the Rishonim point out, Kavach HaMem, when you have Matana to somebody, a private Matana, that should also be included. The real reasons don't apply, because Zer Shem Yichtov is not, usually don't write down Matanas, and there's no real Mitzvah, it's not really Cheftzicha. And the Ramban's model of Shabbos Hashem, you're right, all of those the basic reasons behind Mekach HaMemker don't really apply to Matana. But Lamais, it's still too close for comfort. Matana is also Chalois. Matana is also Cheshem Mishpat. Dinim Amnes. There's a Dinim Amnes involved. When I give you a gift, so it used to be mine and now it's yours, that is too close for comfort to Mekach HaMemker. So it would appear that Chazal did in fact include this in the Yisr. Notwithstanding the fact that our initial reaction is that Mekach HaMemker should include Matanas, even though some of the reasons don't really apply. We do have several examples in Chazal that we seem to look the other way upon the giving of matanos on Shabbos and Yontov. So one of the examples that you gave actually was the example of giving the esrog as a matana. The famous Mishnah that the Gemara Maseches Kedushin speaks about invoking the principle of matana, specifically a very unique kind of matana. Matana ras the hachzir in order to be yotzei dalad minim. So there's a din min haTorah lekachta lechem yom rishon. You have to own the lulav and esrog on the first day. So what if I don't have a lulav and esrog? So the Mishnah says, so someone has to give it to me. They cannot lend it to me. The Mishnah says, ein yotzin b'shol. That's not called lochem. It has to mamash belong to me. So the Mishnah says, I have to give it to the person as a matana. Then the Gemara qualifies that and says, it doesn't have to be a mamash, a matana, literally. It could be a matana b'las l'hachzer, which also suffices. So we spoke about that a lot. We had a couple of shiurim before Sukkot in the shul, on the Shabbos afternoon, and it's, I think, and on Chol HaMoed, we spoke a little bit about what the parameters of this did. No, I'm a Torah as lahachzir. But Lamaisa, the mission of the Gemara says beferish that this works. Wait a second, how can I do this? How can I give you a matana amanas lahachzir on Yom Tif? What happened to the problem of you're not allowed to do business on Shabbos and Yom Tif? So we, on the one hand, we're pretty confident that the Isra Mech HaMemkoch includes matanos as the raya that the Rishonim brought from Hekdesh. On the other hand, we have cases in Chazal itself where Chazal clearly are permitting at least certain types of matanos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we have a few more examples of this off of Metz Hashem tomorrow. So we'll continue with the Sugyas and Maseches Beitza, the Rishonim Maseches Beitza, that highlight other examples where it's clear that certain kinds of matanos are mutter. And now the question becomes, where do you draw the line? When do we say matanos are mutter? When do we say matanos are rasar? That's going to have some very, very serious nafkaminas l'dinah for us off of Metz Hashem tomorrow. We'll continue. Thank you.